The Fan on Demand. He doesn't always play nice. And that's what gets you the information you need. This is the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Don't forget Baseball Central. Back on the air at 11 o'clock after our hiatus yesterday for the two-hour Hockey Central special. Leafs clean out the lockers. So Hayhurst will be in with me. And we'll have a lot to talk about. Do a little quarter poll evaluation of the Blue Jays as they get ready for the first of three games against the Yankees tonight in the Bronx. Talk a bit about the Steven Strasburg, Yu Darvish pitching matchup. Lots of stuff to talk about. More talk about strikeouts. Instant replay. Enhanced instant replay coming to baseball, which I'm not a big fan of. So there'll be a lot to mull over on Baseball Central. Mike Wilner is in New York City. He will have the call of tonight's game along with Jerry and Jack Morris. And we are attempting to roust Mike Wilner from what I'm sure is a deep sleep in his lovely Manhattan hotel. We'll get his take on the Jays, who are at the quarter pole, roughly a quarter of the way through the season. And I think it's pretty obvious that if you take a look at what has transpired at the quarter pole, the negatives far outweigh the positives, starting with the team's position in the standings. But the fact of the matter is they carry a four-game winning streak into New York. The last time they went into New York, they were swept. And if you watched the last three games, the last four games, I would say especially the last three games the Jays played, it is pretty apparent that not only are the bats coming around, but some of the individual hitters, I'm thinking guys like Adam Lind, I'm thinking Brett Laurie, they look a lot more comfortable at the plate than they have in the past. And I'm not necessarily just looking at results. I'm looking at how they are at the plate. There's a lot going on offensively with this team, finally. Mike Wilner joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. And Mike, thanks for doing this. I want to ask you, John Gibbons has made a point of shuffling his batting order, shuffling his lineup around since the start of the year. I mean, he's, as he should, he's trying to find the combination that works. What is it about this particular combination with Melky Cabrera at the top, Jose Bautista second, Edwin batting third? What is it about this particular combination that you think seems to have hit the mother load as far as John Gibbons is concerned?
I really don't think that has anything to do with it. I think it's just a coincidence that right now it's funny because the way the Blue Jays are composed, at least in the top three right now in the batting order, this is by the new school, the most recent of new school thinking, it's the optimal lineup construction.
Mm-hmm.
Having your best hitter batting second, Edwin should probably be hitting fourth in an optimal lineup, and a guy like Adam Lind should be leading off because he's got the on-base and hasn't hit for much power, whereas Melky doesn't really get on. But having Jose hitting second there, that's pretty very, very new age thinking, which it's not why Gibby did it. But I really think it's just a matter of all these guys who are performing so far below what their careers and track records told us they were have started to get back to normal and back to and in order to get back to where they should be, they have to get on a real hell of a hot streak, and that's what's been going on the last 3 days.
This is, this part of the schedule coming up. You're getting the point where you've got, you've got the Yankees, you've got the Rays, the Orioles coming in at home. If you see the way this team has played, and I'm not just talking about the results, but the way they've played the games in these past 4 or 5 days, I think it was R.A. Dickey who used the phrase "community win." there really is a sense, Mike, that not only is this team, you know, starting to hit on all cylinders offensively, it's almost as if the playing of the game has become smoother, hasn't it? There's fewer calamitous moments, I guess, in the field would be the way
I'll
to put it.
Take it back way more than 4 days. I mean, over the last 10 games, that's the way it's been going. Since that Sunday, the last R.A. Dickey, I want to say three starts ago, when he gave up 7 runs mm-hmm. against Seattle and gave up 3 or 4 homers, and that Saturday afternoon, that was the end of it. After that, the 10 games since, they've played well, and aside from the Mark Burley blow-up, that one inning in Tampa Bay, they've pitched well, but they even managed to come back and overcome that one inning blow-up. We've seen much more offense, and that means that those little mistakes that they were making the first month of the season that always turned into big, huge things because there were no runs on the board to protect their pitching haven't hurt them as much, but there haven't been as many of those little mistakes. They've really started to improve every facet of the game. I mean, there was, for the first 31 games of the year, of which they only won 10, they weren't pitching, weren't hitting, weren't playing defense, and now they're doing all those things. And it's, yeah, the four-game win streak, it's been lovely. And even the game that started the four-game win streak, Burley throws 7 shutout innings at the Red Sox, and they blow a 2-0 lead, but they come back right away and win. I mean, we've seen shutdown innings out of Blue Jays pitchers following offensive outbursts, and we've seen Blue Jays hitters denying the opposition pitchers those shutdown innings. And, you know, remember the first month of the year, every time the Blue Jays scored a run, the next inning the other team scored 3, and that's not happening anymore.
No, and I think part of that too, Mike, we're joined by Mike Wilner in the Jeff Blair Show. Part of that too, I think, goes to the return of Brett Laurie to the lineup. You know, it took Brett a while to get going offensively, but I think there was just a little more consistency isn't the word. There was a little more, I guess, sense of order to the defense with Brett Laurie at third base. You had a guy who could make the spectacular play as well as the run-of-the-mill play. And you need that at the hot corner. You need a guy who can make the spectacular play, I think.
Sure you do, but you also need a guy who can make the routine play. And the first 2 weeks of the season, nobody was doing that at third base. I mean, I think in the first 7 games, Meister Esturiz missed 5 or 6 routine outs at third base, misplayed a few. Mark DeRosa was in there, and his range was not up to par. And there were some balls getting by him down the line, and it was just there was a great deal of clusterness at third base for the first 2 weeks of the season. And really, Laurie has just come in and settled everything down, and Kawasaki's done a good job at short. He's had a couple of big mistakes, but only a couple. And the whole infield defense, which really, really suffered in the absence of Brett Laurie, has picked it up.
Hey, Mike, of the teams in the American League East, the teams that are ahead of the Jays right now, who do you think is best positioned to keep up what they're doing right now? And I'm thinking, you know, the Yankees, the Red Sox, or the Orioles. Who do you look at as being the team best positioned at this point in the season? And we still got a ton of games to play, obviously. We're at the quarter pole. But who is the team that you think is best positioned right now to be the team that will be the team to beat in the American League East?
That is a phenomenal question, and one to which I have no answer, because all the teams are so flawed in the American League East.
Yep.
And, you know, the Yankees are going to be getting Teixeira back and Jeter back. They've already got Curtis Granderson back. But realistically, I don't know how you can expect them to keep up this sort of pace of winning. I think they're, what, 10 games over 500, maybe 11? Baltimore, I still, there's so many holes in the starting rotation. And Jim Johnson finally blew a save the other day, so that was great to see. But they need to address their deficiencies if they want to keep this up. And Boston, I think Boston's the best team of those three.
Mm-hmm.
But they had lost 8 of 10 going into the other day, and you know, six, seven games over 500 at this point in the season. I mean, you're looking at 92-win pace from Boston, and I think that's above their heads, too. I don't think any of these teams is really going to be able to maintain the pace that they're on right now, but I guess the Yankees are on top, and they're getting healthier, so let's make them the team to beat. They always seem to be anyway.
Yeah, I really think, Mike, this is going to be this is the strangest American League East season of some time.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. You know,
I think any one of the five teams could win the division, and any one of the five teams could finish in last.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Mike, listen, we appreciate you doing this. Have a great weekend in New York. The weather going to hold up?
It looks like it. I think it's been really it was gorgeous yesterday. It's kind of cloudy today, but warm. But I think the weather will hold up. That's the weirdest part about traveling, I got to tell you, this year is wondering about the weather, because I'm so not used to having to do that ever.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah. You plan seriously, people who haven't like traveled with a team or traveled to cover a team, cover a baseball team, your day depends on the weather. Like literally what you do, because if it's going to rain, if you're a writer, you got to start thinking of an off day story. You know, you got to fill the space somehow. It's true.
It is. It's very different. But I think it's supposed to be a very nice weekend here in New York. And hopefully we'll see a much better performance than we did the last time the Blue Jays were in here.
That'll be great. A weekend in May in New York sounds awesome. Mike, enjoy New York, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks, Jeffrey.
Take care. That is Mike Wilner of our Blue Jays broadcast crew. The Jays and Yankees open a three-game series tonight in the Bronx. We will have the game right here in Sportsnet 590. The Fan, you can catch the game in Sportsnet 1 as well. The Jays riding a four-game winning streak going into the Yankees game tonight. I want to ask you the question I asked Mike Wilner. You take a look at the teams in the American League East. We're roughly at the quarterway mark of the season, the quarter pole of the season. You take a look at the teams in the American League East right now. You take a look at where they are in the standings, and Wilner's right. This is, and a lot of us said this going into the year, that this year in the American League, it was entirely possible that every one of the five teams had a shot of finishing first. Every one of the five teams had a shot of finishing last. The Yankees lead the division. They are 25-16. They've won 7 of their last 10. The Boston Red Sox are a game behind them, 24-17. They've won 2 in a row. Baltimore Orioles, 23-17. 1.5 games back. They're 6-4. Tampa Bay, 20-20, 500. 4.5 games back. The Jays, 17-24, 8 games back. 6.5 out of the wild card. 7-3 in their last 10. They have won 4 games in a row. So there you go. Yankees in first, Boston second, Baltimore third, Tampa Bay fourth, Jays last. Of the teams above Toronto, who do you think is best positioned to win the American League East? At the end of the day, which city will the road to the American League East championship go through? Will it be New York? Will it be Boston? Will it be Baltimore or Tampa Bay? I'm with Wilner in this one, and remember at the start of the year, I picked the Yankees to finish last. The Yankees are 25-16, and they're starting to get healthy. Got to say right now that the Yankees are calling the tune in the American League East. So I want your take on that. Which city does the road to the American League East title go through if you're the Blue Jays? Who are you taking aim at the most? 416-870-0590, star 590. 1-888-666-0590. This is the Jeff Blair Show, and this is Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Cooler than Math Club, and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Blue Jays versus Yankees. Pre-game with Mike Wilner. Tonight at 7. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
All almost had an Inagata DeVita moment there. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. So the Yankees are in first at 25-16. The Red Sox are second, 24-17. Baltimore's third, 23-17. Tampa Bay, 20-20. They are in fourth place. Your Toronto Blue Jays, ladies and gentlemen, 17-24. Winners of four straight, 7-3 over the last 10. 8 games back. All right. We're at roughly the quarter pole mark of the American League season, of the Major League Baseball season. Who's the real deal? Who has shown their true colors? Are the Yankees a first-place team? Are the Jays a last-place team? What about Tampa Bay, Baltimore? 1.5 games back, are they a legitimate threat? Boston, they've had a horrible run recently. Now they've won 2 in a row, they're 1 game back. Who's for real? In the American League East, when you look at these standings, Yankees first, Red Sox second, Baltimore third, Tampa Bay fourth, the Blue Jays fifth. Who is the real deal? In the American League East, Ryan in Scarborough, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Go ahead, Ryan.
I believe that, well, I'll have to say, you know, I've always respected Wilner's opinion, and it's kind of hard to make a case against anything that he brings up. He's, you know, he usually knows his stuff pretty well.
Don't do that. He doesn't need to hear people that people like him or respect him.
I hear you. Well, on my opinion, I will say that the Yankees have definitely been making a good case for themselves. But I also feel that the Jays have the most talent in the entire division. You know, and obviously it's one thing to say it on paper, you know, and to be perfectly honest, I felt, it's easy to say hindsight's 20/20, but I did feel that this team was going to need some getting used to, getting their wheels on the ground and starting to move. But as far as the Red Sox are concerned and the Yankees, you know, those guys have always been in the race for the last 10, 15 years. You know, that's a club and those are organizations that are used to winning. And no matter who you have in the jerseys, you know, when you have that atmosphere in the clubhouse and you have veterans who are there to do business, then, you know, that's going to rub off on people no matter who comes into the clubhouse. I feel also that Tampa Bay, as great as their breakout season was in 2008. They've done well recently, but I feel that they're at a point now where they're just kind of spinning their rims.
Yep.
Baltimore, they're still young. They're still a young team. They're going to have their bumps along the way, and they're going to have to learn how to win when it really counts. Which, you know, consistently. You know, one season's great, but consistently, you got it as an organization. But I think overall, it's a toss-up. It's such a toss-up in this division because there's so many things that can happen. There's so many good teams. I still have my faith in the Blue Jays. I love the Blue Jays, and I'm not even talking as a fan. I'm literally just trying to look at this from a very neutral perspective, and I just feel that this team, once they get going, they can be very dangerous. But with the situation how it is right now, I'm still gonna have to take the Yankees overall, but I'm hoping the Jays can squeak in for a wild card. So thank you for having me on.
All right, I appreciate the call. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. You know what? I regret picking Tampa Bay to win the division. I put a lot of faith in Tampa Bay. I look at these four teams, the Yankees, Boston, Baltimore, Tampa Bay, and Toronto. And I say to myself, all right, which of these five teams do you think is most likely to be where they are right now at the end of the season? And I think Tampa Bay, especially if the David Price injury turns out to be more than simply irritation, I can see them being the team that really falls out of this. And I never thought I'd be saying that. I knew there were offensive issues with this team. I knew there were issues with the lineup, with Tampa Bay's lineup. But, man, I put so much faith in that pitching and so much faith in Joe Maddon. And I'm not saying, you know, I'm not saying that the Rays are going to go away and fall off the face of the earth. But as I look at this division right now, Yankees, Boston, Baltimore, Tampa Bay, and Toronto, if you asked me which team do you have the least faith in, possibly winning the division, it might be Tampa Bay even more than Toronto, even though Tampa Bay has 3 more wins at this time than the Blue Jays. And even though historically they have, pretty much slapped the Blue Jays around at will. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Brandon in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hello, Jeff. I'm still saying the Rays are the team to beat in this division.
Okay.
I think the Rays are just the team to beat. I think maybe if the David Price injury is as more as it gets worse, maybe they won't be. But I still think that the Yankees and the Red Sox, I think they will slow down. And the Red Sox are already kind of slowing down already. Mm-hmm. And I think the Rays are the team to beat.
Why does nobody say Baltimore? And I'm not just saying you, but, you know, they're – like, I'm looking at the calls we got set up here, and people seem to be overlooking Baltimore. It's a team that was in the playoffs last year. They win one-run games. They play really well on the road. They're 14-9 on the road, and they've got a terrific lineup. They might have the best lineup in the well, they do, frankly, have the best lineup in the division. But nobody picks the Orioles.
I just say the Rays because historically the Rays the Rays always beat the Jays, and I think we do pretty well against the Orioles.
Mm-hmm.
So okay, that's my thoughts.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. The Jays have historically done well against the Orioles, although recent trends have changed a bit. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. My Twitter handle is @GloBlair if you want to reach me on Twitter. Who is the real deal in the American League East? Yankees in first, Red Sox in second, Baltimore third, Tampa Bay fourth. Blue Jays dead last going into a three-game series this weekend against the Yankees. Yankees 25-16, and they're getting healthy. They got Curtis Granderson back. Yes, Andy Pettitte had to leave yesterday's game, but they're getting Granderson back. Derek Jeter's going to be coming back at some time. Nobody even really cares whether Alex Rodriguez comes back. Mark Teixeira. Yankees are 25-16. And they're getting healthy. So who is the real deal in the American League East? Maybe we don't know. Maybe that hasn't been revealed yet. Mike in Niagara Falls, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Yes, good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Mike.
I think the East is going to be a war of attrition this year.
It's looking that way.
Yeah, but I have to disagree with Wilner on the Yankees. I think he just kind of tossed it up there because he's at a loss as well, but... I watched Yankees last night, and the announcers found a flaw. Brendan Wells is going to hit 220. They found out that he can't hit the down and away pitch, just like we saw in Toronto and they saw in Los Angeles. It finally got exposed. They've been playing over their heads. Pettitte went down. They've got three AAA pitchers in their bullpen as of today. And Granderson, he hits 40 home runs. 20 of them are long ball flyouts in any other ballpark other than Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, but they still count as home runs.
But he doesn't play every game in Yankee Stadium, and he's gun-shy after being hit.
Well, I don't know about...
I think he's going to go down, Jeff.
Yeah, I don't know about him being gun-shy. I don't know about that.
Jeter comes back into shortstop. He doesn't have the legs to cover the ground. The kid they got playing there now...
Nunez.
He gets to some balls. He hasn't got Jeter's savvy or arm.
Yeah.
But he's not going to come back and start hitting 300.
All right, then. Who do you like in the East?
I like Baltimore, and I like Toronto.
Yeah.
I think Toronto's on the way back with Reyes coming back, and Baltimore, they lost Chen, I think, for a while.
And they're just there. They've just hung around, and it's odd, you know. It's like a lot of people don't want to give Baltimore credit.
Well, they've got Buck Showalter, too.
You can't...
What can you say about him? I think he's one of the best five managers in all baseball.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Mike. They've also got a really good lineup. Like Wilner, though, I mean, I can see where people would have some issues with Baltimore. The rotation doesn't necessarily scare me. But every one of these teams has huge, huge issues. This is one of those rare years where you look at the American League East and you go, there's really no team that doesn't have a pressing issue. I mean, every team has issues. Every team has concerns. You're never as strong as you'd like to be, obviously. But usually there's somebody in the American League East, you look at them and go, okay, well, they've got a little bit of everything. I don't know if there's a team in this division that has, quote-unquote, a little bit of everything. Baltimore might be the closest to that. They might be the closest to that. Chris in Brampton, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man.
Good. So I'm gonna make a couple of quick comments. Hopefully that might give you food for thought.
Okay.
Continue on with this conversation. But I think the team right now that's doing the best is the Red Sox, just based on performance and overall. But I think right now is what we're going to see with the Blue Jays. Are they going to be able to do it right now? Because it does matter right now.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
With being in fifth place, it matters right now. And I was looking at it, and I was like, how many times have the Blue Jays beaten the Yankees in a series like 2-1 or 3, swept them away 3-0? I can't remember the last time that happened. So if this year's team has performance, over the next 7 games, they're going to have to be able to perform and meet those expectations. Now, we are even beat it down trying to go through it, but those healthy bodies, just like other teams have healthy body issues, are all going to come back, and the record will be the record.
Yeah, I took a lot of grief on Twitter today because I'd mentioned that I thought this next 22 game portion of the schedule is going to make or break the season. And I think it will. You've got to start making up ground in teams, and you're getting into the point of the schedule. You're going to be playing interleague ball. You got Texas coming in. You need to have a real good run here. Like, I'm seriously, these next 22 games, I think you've got to go. I got to go at least 14-8 to put yourself in position. And it's great that Jose Reyes is coming back at the end of June. But you really need to have, you got to start doing it now. You got to start making up a little bit of ground. And, I'm not saying that if they play 500, the season's necessarily over, but I'm saying this is the time you got to start making up some ground. And, starts this weekend against the Yankees, because as we've seen in this past 10-game run, the Jays have been 7-3. Pretty good run of 10 games. And they're not gaining any ground on anybody, because there's four teams in front of them, and someone else is going to be 7-3 or 6-4. That's the issue with burying yourself early. You could do all the math you want, but that's fundamentally the issue of burying yourself early. There's not going to be a day too often where the four teams in front of you all lose. That's an issue for the Jays. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. Want to continue our discussion who the real deal is in the American League East. We're also going to be joined by James Sharman. We're going to talk a little bit about David Beckham's retirement, what that means for the sport, and what David Beckham's legacy is for the sport of soccer. All that ahead on the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hockey Central, today at noon.
Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
We are back, just ahead of Baseball Central with Dirk Hayhurst. Continuing to take your calls on the status of teams in the American League East. Who is the real deal? Yankees in first, Red Sox in second, Orioles third, Tampa Bay Rays fourth, your Jays fifth. Winners of four in a row going into tonight's first game of a three-game series in the Bronx against the New York Yankees. Who is the real deal in the American League East? Who has revealed their true colors? 3rd the first quarter of the Major League season. Mark in Toronto, you're on the Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Morning.
Morning.
First of all, there is no real deal in the division right now, and that is very surprising. I wasn't going to call until you mentioned Baltimore, and on several occasions in the last few months, I just texted my brother and I said, when are we going to start giving this team respect? I think everyone in the East is a little bit flawed, Boston scared me a little early on because their bullpen looked very strong. You know, Bailey, you know, the Uhera, and you had Hanrahan and all that. And that scared me a little bit because they had some veteran offense and the starting pitching was decent. But the weakness of their starting pitching, I don't think them puts them in the category. The Yankees, there's two things I've learned watching baseball all these years. Number one is a question mark is a question mark. Whether you think someone's due or, you know, you have a feeling, it's still a question mark if they haven't proved it for a long time. The other thing is guys will always come down back to their average. If they're hitting a certain way, they will always get back to somewhere around where they always hit for their career. The Yankees, all those guys, whether it's Hafner, Wells, Overbay, all, we know where they're going to end up. They're going to be complaining in August. They're going to want to shoot all three of those guys in New York, and no one's going to be hitting. Their starting pitching is there's no depth to it. Kuroda is really their number two, and he's a number four on a good team. Tampa, I agree with you, looked really good. They have the best three starters if I lined anyone up, but their bullpen has shown a lot of holes, and their offense isn't good enough to make up for it, so I do push them aside. When it comes to the Jays, I mean, there's question marks there. Whether you think Dickey's back or not, he's a question mark. Josh Johnson's a question mark. Burley, it always surprised me that nobody talked about him in the offseason. It was like he was going to be an easy number four and do what he always does. He's older. He doesn't throw the ball as hard as he used to, and, you know, he's a liability. And then you've got, J.A. Happ, we know what we get. And who am I missing, starter?
Morrow, you talk about Morrow.
Morrow. Okay, Morrow. Whether someone has a great feeling about him or not, he's a question mark. He's never done it for enough time for us to have confidence, for me to put money down and say, Brandon Morrow is going to do this for a couple of years. We know he came, you know, he highly touted, et cetera, but he's never done it for a long period of time. So because of that, I can't put the Jays as the best team in the league. Baltimore Orioles are the best team in the East. Buck Showalter has brought in a culture there of winning, and it's I actually have more respect for him than anyone in a long time. If nobody's up at a certain level, they go down. He does not let anybody learn on the job right now, and I guess that also has something to do with their depth.
Well, and also Dan Duquette, their general manager, is a big believer in that. I mean, he was with Montreal. If you're not doing the job, that's what Triple A's for.
But it promotes winning. It really promotes winning. And their lineup is highly underrated. And the, Chris Davis is a question mark, whether he's, going to hit over 270, 280. That's a big question mark because he's the meat of that lineup. But everyone else is just good enough to win the East this year.
Yeah, Mark, I appreciate the call. That's well said. And one of the strengths, I think, of the Orioles, and again, it's very much in keeping with Dan Duquette's philosophy, I think players know, Orioles players know, that if you don't perform, you'll be in AAA. But they also know that if you're down in AAA, if you're down in the minors and you do perform, you do get it back together, they will call you back up again. It is the final weekend of play in the Barclays Premier League. It's also a weekend that will be a weekend where the play will be conducted against the backdrop of David Beckham's formal retirement from the sport of soccer. There are people who will say that he has essentially been retired for the past 5 or 6 years and has just kind of been there. James Sharman, soccer analyst for Sportsnet and Fox Soccer News, joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. It is kind of a harsh evaluation of him, but James, there are people who pretty much think that he retired the second he left England, aren't there?
Yeah, sure. There's haters out there. There's a lot of envy when it comes to David Beckham, obviously, for numerous reasons. I think it's a bit harsh. He came to MLS and he played 6 years at a decent level. Now, we all know MLS isn't, you know, an elite league just yet, but a decent level. He got loaned out to top clubs, AC Milan, for example, played a key role there before getting injured. And then, you know, got a job at PSG the last few months where, yeah, he was a bit part player, but he started in big, big Champions League games. So, you know, yes, maybe 6 years ago, he was 32, 33. He was obviously past his prime. But to say that he retired when he left England and Spain, sorry, that's probably a little bit harsher, in my opinion.
And, you know, the thing with David Beckham, James, is when he came over to MLS, he came over as a big personality, But I think most people who watched football, they realized that by nature of his position, he wasn't going to be a guy who's going to come over and score 45 goals. And, you know, I think that's sort of how a lot of North American sports fans, especially sort of casual soccer fans, they'll look at that. You know, they'll say, well, this guy wasn't that big a deal. I mean, I'm watching the highlights and he's, you know, he's not scoring goals. They've got this Landon Donovan guy scoring goals. But that really kind of misses the point, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, it's funny. He was so overrated, he was almost underrated.
In that, exactly.
Yeah, he came to North America, and I think the generic sports fan who didn't necessarily watch too much soccer thought this guy's the best player in the world because I know who he is. I know his name, and he was never that. He was never one of the top players, high echelon players in the world. He was a very good player, but he was renowned for great passes, great crosses, great set pieces, was never going to score many goals. He's a midfielder, was never going to beat a man one-on-one and make a highlight reel that way because he had no pace. But what he did, he was really good at. And I think he was a great player. He was one of the greatest crossers and passers and free kick takers that perhaps we've ever seen. But because he wasn't beating six guys one-on-one and scoring 30 goals a year, perhaps the purist out there says, well, his stats don't back up the reputation. But again, it's unfair. What he did, he was extremely good at. But to expect any more of that was probably very unfair.
James Sharman joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. What do you think his legacy will be? And is there a comparable in your mind to what that legacy will be? Is there another player that – I'm talking about people who, people who follow soccer. What will they be thinking of when they talk about David Beckham 5 years down the road? And is there a comparable?
Well, I think sadly his off the field, brand has overshadowed his football, and I think that's probably his legacy, that he really crossed that sports pop culture divide better than anyone. You know, if we talk about George Best being the first rock star soccer player, then Beckham's the first pop star soccer player. So I think it's sad to say that in 5 years' time we'll say, yeah, he's a pretty good player, but boy, was he smart? Was his management team smart? How he managed to cross that divide and make a lot of money. And, now he's in all these ambassadorial roles. He's, perhaps going to be PSG's latest ambassador. He's an ambassador for Adidas, an ambassador for Chinese football. He's an ambassador for the FA. So it'd be very busy. But I think perhaps, we'll remember him for what he did with, quite frankly, a somewhat limited skill set. But with that, he's somehow managed to become the most, perhaps, iconic sports figure in the world.
Yeah, and we had Daniel Roberts on from Forbes magazine yesterday, and he was making the point that he thinks David Beckham will be one of those rare sports/celebrities who is actually 3 or 4 years down the road still going to be making a ton of money in endorsements.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating, isn't it?
It really is.
Yep. I mean, that Beckham brand with his wife, I mean, they're saying that right now they're worth about $300 million. And it's only going to continue. He's got more time on his hands now, right? He's traveled the globe more now without having to jet back for an inconvenient training session at L.A. or somewhere or a game, God forbid. So he's got more time on his hands. And, people still know that face, that pretty face will still sell. And, people call him a little bit dumb. And I think that's very unfair because he's a typical, the boy next door, so to speak, when he first came through. But he managed to surround himself with the right people. And he's been managed brilliantly. And this has been planned for a long time. You know that every facet of Beckham's life, from the minute he wakes up in the morning to when he goes to bed at night, is planned by his people. So as much as it was surprising to some of us that he retired yesterday, I'm sure it's been in the works for some time, and I'm sure the next year, next 2 years, the next decade of his life are also planned out beautifully right now.
Yeah, and I've always made the point with David Beckham, in some ways he reminds me a lot of Derek Jeter in that he spent almost all of his, certainly all his professional life under a microscope. And, there are flaws in everybody's character, but by and large, people who've been around him and people in the game, it's pretty hard to have anything really bad to say about David Beckham.
I think it's a great point, yeah. I mean, people hate on him because of the envy there, but if you, sit down and talk to Beckham or you see him interviewed or read the stories, he's pretty clean, and who knows what's really happened behind the scenes. I'm sure he's got some pretty smart people around him who can clean up some of the messes. But generally speaking, he's kept out of the controversies, out of the wrong pages in the papers, so to speak. And yeah, he's pretty down to earth. I think he's a decent bloke. He's a nice person. And, this ego could have been blown out of proportion. We know that. But obviously, he's got a pretty strong family behind him who probably keep those feet very much on the ground. And even the Beckhams, Posh Spice, Victoria Beckham, it's really kind of hard to dislike her when you see her interviewed, So I think when they were first put together by whoever it was, they thought, man, this could be a pretty powerful couple if we get Beckham and Victoria Beckham or Vic Posh Spice put together. You know, even back in those days, that they planned it out very well, because deep down, they're pretty average people, I think.
James Sharman joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. James, who gets the third place spot in the Premier League when this weekend's over? You've got Arsenal going to St. James Park to play Newcastle United on Sunday. Chelsea plays Everton at Stamford Bridge. There is a scenario where you could have a third-place playoff here.
Yeah. I mean, for example, if Chelsea tie 0-0 and Arsenal win 2-1, then they're tied in every category. So it goes to a playoff for that third and final automatic Champions League berth.
And Everton is entirely capable of playing them to a 0-0 draw with David Moyes' last game.
Precisely. I mean, they'll be playing for the gaffer in that big game. So that is very possible. So I still think Chelsea, I mean, they've done so well, obviously, coming off the cup win in the Europa League this week. All those games, almost 70 games they've played, and they've stayed pretty healthy. They're not playing for their gaffer, because they don't like Rafa very much, but they're playing for perhaps Jose Mourinho next season. So they've got some motivation there as well. I think it'll be Chelsea in the end, but I think that the biggest battle will be between Arsenal and Spurs for that fourth place and that final Champions League berth. Spurs very much in contention as well. Of course, they're a point back of Arsenal right now. Arsenal win, obviously, they're through, but you know, it could go down to the wire here. It's very exciting, and thankfully, because we need some drama. You know, all the races have been wrapped up pretty much entering the final weekend, but there's still something to cling to.
What happens to Rafa Benitez?
Good question. I think he'll get a very good job somewhere. There's talk about Monaco, who are being promoted back to the French First Division next year. They've been bought by a very, very wealthy family. They want to buy championships. That's their plan. And they've been approaching apparently Rafa for a while. I think his reputation has been enhanced. He came into a very tough situation, very unfair situation, and he's done a great job there. And very quietly, he's put the likes of John Terry on the outskirts and empowered John Terry, who really ran that club for a long time by himself. He's managed the Lampard situation very, very well, an aging veteran who's close to beating a record, top goal scorer for that club. He managed to get the record for the club legend, who's beloved by the fans, without making him so much an integral part of that side. And, you know, David Luiz, who's perhaps been, in some people's minds, the player of the season, has emerged on the battle. So I think he's done a very, very good job in a very tough situation. He'll get a job somewhere at a big club. He's a great manager, but very unfairly maligned at that club.
James, I appreciate you doing this. Thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Jeff. Anytime, mate.
Take care. That is James Sharman, soccer analyst for Sportsnet, the score of Fox Soccer News as well. It is the final weekend of Premiership action. Arsenal, Chelsea, and Tottenham all vying for Champions League positions. That is it for the Jeff Blair Show. We will be back on Tuesday. But stay tuned. Baseball Central with Dirk Hayhurst is up next on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet.